98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Here it is, all of our top stories of the day. Everything we've been talking about all day long, all in one spot. The 4 o'clock reset, your one-stop shopping for everything going on in sports. We start with Major League Baseball, Game 5 of the American League Championship Series tonight. Justin Verlander on the hill, James Paxton on the bump for the New York Yankees. Jose Altuve of the Astros would love to just get this over with tonight, up 3-1.
We're going
to
keep our game plan. You know, we're being coming to the field to play 100%, to do everything we can to win the game. And not because we are up in the series 3-1, we're going to, you know, relax or just think about this game is not as important as it was yesterday. We need to win today, and like I said, just keep moving forward.
We'll see how much juice the Yankees have, knowing they're down 3-1 and still have to face Verlander and Cole. That game's set to begin very soon.
Stanton returns to the lineup as the designated hitter. He's going to back cleanup for the Yankees.
All right. NBA, Zion Williamson, a knee injury. They avoided a serious injury with his knee, but he is going to miss a few weeks. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.
They're going to be abundantly cautious with any injury with a player of this magnitude. You've seen already what he did in the preseason. He had started to really live up to a hype that we haven't seen for a player in a very long time, but they expect him back here in a period of weeks in New Orleans.
Jordan reminding us in our headphones
good
that
point.
Aaron Nelson is now the trainer working on Zion Williamson, the number one pick in the draft. The Pelicans, and I got this off of Gina Mizell's Twitter account. I didn't look at the schedule or think to look at the schedule. The Pelicans' only visit to Phoenix this season is November 21st. He might
It's a month away.
Huh?
It's a month away.
It's a month away. He might miss that game. Depending on how long
he's out.
He comes
back in 3 weeks, he won't miss it, right?
It'd be close. Yeah. I mean, the season starts on October 23rd.
What did you say the date was?
November 21st. The season starts on October 23rd. That would be 4 weeks.
Okay.
So if it takes 4 weeks for him to come back, he might miss it. Or that might be his first game back. We'll see. But that's their only visit this year.
I just want to see him play. I really hope he's back for that game because that's a can't-miss game if you're a Suns fan.
No doubt about it. The ASU Sun Devils, and we'll talk more about their game against Utah in a moment. Commitments today from a 3-star linebacker, Caleb McCullough, a 4-star defensive end, Joe Moore, Antonio Pierce on the HBO 24/7 show on what he likes to say to prospective recruits.
So what's your dreams? What do you want to do? You want to be a pro? Well, this is a pro model. Everybody has facilities, right? Everybody has the glitz, the glamours, the photo shoots, but the knowledge of the next level, how to do it, you know, the whys, the purpose. We've all been there and done that. So my recruiting pitch is pretty simple, man. We've been there and done that. We want to help you walk down that yellow brick road, and we want to do it with you.
You checked on it to see if the HBO show had anything to do with sort of sealing the deal.
Here's the answer I got back. We were already trending with them after recruiting them both for 2 years, but they both saw it, and it didn't hurt. They visited for the game last weekend, and there's more coming soon. USC was heavy on that linebacker, so they beat out USC to get the linebacker. The defensive lineman they got could have went anywhere in the country. But there are some players that they're expecting to sign. I'm going to give you the positions. A cornerback, a running back, another defensive lineman, and a wide receiver. All of them are 4- or 5-star players. I'll give it to you again. Cornerback, running back, defensive lineman, wide receiver. Those are all guys that ASU is really hoping to sign. All of those players are either 4- or 5-star players.
Patrick Mahomes had to be helped off the field last night on Thursday Night Football. Dislocated kneecap, had it popped back into place on the field. Sounds nasty, but the Kansas City Chiefs got the best case scenario news today.
It is indeed a patellar dislocation. That basically means that he dislocated his right kneecap. Now, obviously, an MRI needs to be done that will tell us sort of the extent of the damage, if there's any ligament damage, and that'll tell us how much he's going to be out, if it's extended time or if it's something relatively minor.
Well, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network has reported that that MRI came back with good news, and right now they're thinking it's best case scenario, which would have him out 3 weeks, and that there was no additional ligament damage based off of the MRI.
You know, here's the deal. I mean, could be a blessing in disguise. Mahomes was banged up, obviously, with the ankle injury. Now, this injury is going to put him out for a while. It may give his body a time to heal up, and that way he can come back. They're not going to get home field advantage in the playoffs. But the most important thing is to have him healthy for the playoffs. So instead of trying to ride him out there every week, it might be better if he misses a few games. Matt Moore will take over, and I'll just try to survive without him for a few weeks.
We'll talk about this in more detail in a few minutes. Steve Keim this morning on the Doug and Wolf Show once again insisting we ain't trading Patrick Peterson, folks.
I don't know why the questions persist, because, again, I've addressed it multiple times. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. We are not trading Patrick Peterson. And our stance has simply been, you know, why trade a player in his prime at one of the hardest positions to find for a maybe or a couple maybes?
Trade deadline is a week from this Tuesday.
Yeah, it's not getting traded. I mean, you could debate this all day long whether they should trade him or not. That's fair. I mean, it's a fair argument, a fair debate to have. Should they trade him or should they not? The reality is, and I've been saying this for a very long time, he's not traded. They're not trading Patrick Peterson.
And like I say,
probably going to extend him.
We'll get into more detail on that coming up in just a few minutes. But our biggest story of the day here, the totality of this weekend in football for our two local teams. And I mean, really, if you want to hit zoom out, our three local teams, if you want to count U of A, they've got a big game this weekend against USC as well. But let's focus in particular on the teams here in town. ASU and the Cardinals, both with entirely different objectives this weekend. For ASU, it's Pac-12 South supremacy. And there's zero debate that the leader in the clubhouse for the Pac-12 South title will be the winner of this football game. Whether they can hold on to it or not is another question. But at least in the moment, the winner of this game on Saturday will be the favorite for that division title. This is, in my opinion, the biggest game they've played under Herm Edwards since he's been here in a year and a half.
Man, one of my favorite songs as a kid when I was growing up was Driver's Seat, the song Driver's Seat. You're in the driver's seat if you win this game, whether you're ASU or Utah. You are in the driver's seat, especially for ASU, because they do have USC here. They get USC at home. Now, obviously, Utah had the loss, and that will hurt them, but the schedules are tough for USC down the stretch. I don't think Arizona's just got the goods to get there. I just don't believe so. My gut feeling is the winner of this game is going to win the Pac-12 South, and that's why this is such a big game. It'll either come down to Utah or ASU. Supposed to be some rain in the forecast. Could be a very heavy running game between Moss and Eno Benjamin.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenging game. Utah, statistically, presents itself as one of the best teams in the country. I mean, the numbers are off the charts in terms of yards per carry, rushing touchdowns, rushing defense, scoring defense, total defense, interceptions, on and on and on and on. But they've done it against such a broken schedule where you're looking for the quality in there and it's hard to find. In the meantime, ASU, we all know their story. Every game is close. Every game seemingly comes down to the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. I don't know if ASU can survive to go down big early in this game the way they did against Colorado, the way they did against Washington State. I don't think they can afford to do that. But ASU is battle-tested. They've beaten two ranked teams on the road so far this year.
So this
and this would be
them.
The third.
Yeah, so this shouldn't faze them, right? I mean, they went on a road to East Lansing and won. They went to Cal and they won. ASU's a good football team. There are no great teams in the Pac-12, but they're a good football team. Now, if the weather's bad, they can rely on their running game. Their offensive line has done a good job. As you pointed out many times, with all the changes they made, you've got a dominant running back in Eno Benjamin. You've got a good defense. You can play this close to the vest and see if you can win a close game. I worry about their ability to win a close game with a long field goal now. With Zendejas,
amen,
he doesn't have the long, the length strength of a Brandon Ruiz, but he can. He's a good, reliable kicker. I like him, you know, from 30 yards and in, 35 yards and in. I worry about the 45-yard field goal with Zendejas because he just doesn't seem to have the length, the leg strength.
Now, a totally different set of criteria for the Cardinals game on Sunday, taking on the Giants. Nobody is confusing themselves thinking the Cardinals are a playoff team by any stretch, but a three-game win streak and matching last year's win total before you even get to the halfway point of 2019 is a significant milestone.
No
and
question.
You and I agree it doesn't matter who you've beaten, a three-game win streak is a three-game win streak and cannot be minimized.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you two of those games would be on the road. You've gone on the road to beat two NFL teams. You'll have beaten Andy Dalton, who's a veteran quarterback, Matt Ryan, veteran quarterback, and a young quarterback in Daniel Jones. So you're beating three, you know, different types of quarterbacks. Sure, none of these teams are good teams, okay? They're not good football teams. But there's a lot of teams in the NFL that aren't good. They haven't played Miami yet. They're no good. They haven't played Washington yet. They're no good. There's a lot of teams in this league that are not good. So to sit there and say the Denver Broncos haven't played them yet. They're not good. So there's, it's just this year, there's a lot of bad football teams. But to win three football games in a row, I think is a big deal. I think it's a big deal. Because to me, that's the turning point where you could literally say, okay, we've turned the corner. They're on the verge of a large improvement over what they did last year.
Just like everybody in Arizona, Steve Keim, very happy that Patrick Peterson is back. Just don't ask him about those Patrick Peterson trade rumors if you're kind enough. You'll hear why next here on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show, hanging out live today at the Fry's. Tatum and Shea, southwest corner of Tatum and Shea, the largest Fry's superstore in the world. You can see it from outer space. It's ginormous, and we're here supporting Pepsi. They are our sponsor and our partner for Blitz the Bayou here on Arizona Sports. We've got our last name that we're going to read off in about 15 minutes. You're going to want to be stay tuned for that. Last chance.
Tune in.
Get in on that. Great deals for Pepsi products this weekend. Great deals at this Fry's with your football weekend coming up. We've got Archie Bradley jerseys, Archie Bradley baseballs, beanie caps, a whole bunch of autographed photos. Archie Bradley is actually going to be helping Fry's open their brand new Fry's food store in downtown Phoenix, first in Jefferson. Next week, October 23rd, Archie's going to be down there from 1 until 3, available for autographs and photographs. So you can go see him there then. You can come see us today here. Tatum and Shea will be here until 6 o'clock. Stock up on Pepsi products and everything you need for this weekend's football action.
And still some good prizes to give away. You know, we've got some of those Cardinal beanies left and some autographed Archie Bradley photos as well.
Yeah, Steve Keim this morning on the Doug and Wolf Show. Yes, he still hears it. Yes, he saw the Schefter report last week that teams are still calling about Patrick Peterson. Of course, the Jalen Ramsey trade. He goes, I don't understand why people are still talking about this.
I don't know why the questions persist because, again, I've addressed it multiple times. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. We are not trading Patrick Peterson. And our stance has simply been, you know, why trade a player in his prime at one of the hardest positions to find for a maybe or a couple maybes. And love what Pat brings to the locker room. Love what he brings to the field. Again, those positions are impossible to find. Left tackles, quarterbacks, corners. And there's no doubt in my opinion that he is the best in the National Football League and will remain a Cardinal.
Now, to me, the direct interpretation of that 37-second soundbite is simply, we're not going to do what Jacksonville just did. No, I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to trade our one of our best players at one of the premium positions in the NFL for a maybe or a couple of maybes. And by that, he means draft picks, right? And that's what Jacksonville just did. Now, to your point, and I'm not trying to make your point for you, it's not going to happen. The trade deadline is a week from this Tuesday. Patrick Peterson is not getting moved.
Nope.
Okay?
Nope. No chance. Not getting moved.
We can debate whether
100%
they should be more open to the idea of trading Patrick
100%.
Peterson.
100%. Fair debate. Open debate. You got a quarterback. A cornerback who's 29 years old. He's been an 8-time Pro Bowl player. He's got a few good years left. I mean, it's not like he's slowed down. He's got a few good years left. You could probably get maximum value for him right now. Maximum value. A team would be able to get him for this year and be able to get him for next year. Again, I'm going to preface this by saying they're not trading him. But I don't think the argument is stupid. I don't think it's a stupid argument for anybody saying they should trade him. You know what? That's a fair point. I mean, that's a good argument to make. And I understand it. I do understand it. Because he is in his prime. He's a player that's highly coveted. And you could probably get two draft picks for him, maybe a first and a third or a first and a fourth. Now, they're not going to do it because they think that they can compete within the next couple of years, and he's going to be a big part of the reason why they're competing. So I understand that part, too. And the draft pick you're going to get is likely going to be a pick in the 20s because you're going to trade him to a team that's contending and has a chance to win, and that team is not going to be picking in the top 15. Not trading him to a team that has two wins. You're going to trade him to a team that's contending. So from that perspective, I think it's a fair argument that people make is maybe you should trade him. Should we at least discuss trading him? Right now, they're saying no to every call. Could there be a call that would come their way that would blow them away? Probably not. I mean,
I don't think anybody would offer what Jacksonville got offered for Jalen Ramsey for Patrick Peterson. I think that's It's a hypothetical worth discussing, but I think the possibility of that happening is so remote just because of the age difference between the two. You're not going to get, but you could get an offer of a first and a fourth.
Yeah, maybe.
A first and a third, you might get offered. But again, Steve Keim, in his direct words, we're not going to trade a premium player at a premium position for a couple of maybes.
They
we're
need
just not going to do it.
The Cardinals need him. Now, you could sit there and say, well, they went 2-3-1 without him. Yeah, great. But look at the defensive rankings. Look at where they are on defense. Their defense is atrocious. It's not very good. It's a bad defense. Bottom five in every category, right? Every major category, they're bottom five in the NFL.
Just about.
They need him.
Yeah.
They want to win football games this year.
Yeah. Now, the topic of extending Patrick Peterson came up this morning when Steve was on with Doug and
Wolf. We brought this up the last few days.
And he didn't really want to get into that.
What?
No, he didn't.
Well, there's a number of things that that we can do, and I don't want to get into hypotheticals, but, you know, again, guy's just coming back after missing six games. So, you know, I'm just excited to see him play on Sunday, and we have desperately needed him.
We all are excited to see him, but there will be a question of I would like to see Patrick Peterson get extended. As long as we're catching Patrick Peterson in a good moment and he wants to be here. Now, you and I were noteworthy for not freaking out over what Patrick Peterson said on Wednesday when he made his return. I know Bickley and Murata, they were kind of freaking out about it. We didn't. We took a more kind of wait-and-see approach. I think at the end of the season, you go to Patrick Peterson and you kind of find out what he's thinking about, where his head's at, where his heart's at. Does he like it? Does he want to be here for a few more years? And then you try to figure out what that's going to cost you. If you find out that's going to cost more than you're willing to spend to keep Patrick Peterson around, then you might have to think about trading him in the offseason. You know? You might have to think about moving on from Patrick Peterson if you don't think he's going to be willing to sign an extension to stay here, or if the cost of keeping him
now
is too high.
I think I need to know now, because I think the chance to get him for a team to get him for at least 2 years instead of just one, you get more for you get more bang for your buck on a trade. So if I don't feel like I can re-sign him, well, then if I've talked to him and like he wants to hit free agency, well, then, you know, the value might be greater now than it is in the offseason. I mean, it could be. So I would think they got a pretty good feel that they're going to be able to extend him as to why they're not even taking calls on him, or at least, you know, telling everybody no when they call. Because they would probably, to me, have a pretty good feel that they're going to be able to extend the guy.
I hope, for their sake, they're not misreading that putt. You know, I hope that if that's the case, and Steve Keim is standing over that ball and he's looking at that little hole, I hope that the green is not breaking to the left when he thinks it's actually breaking to the right. Because if you're right, I hope Steve and Michael have a real good feel about that if that's the case. Because if you feel like he shouldn't, then maybe you do need to be more open to trading him if you don't think he's going to be inclined to sign an extension with you. Or if the cost, maybe he will be inclined. It might be at a price that you're not willing to pay.
Here's where you have the leverage. You've got Patrick Peterson for this year at 29 years old. You got Patrick Peterson for next year at 30 years old. The year after that, he's a free agent at 31. You could franchise tag him, get one more great year out of him, 31. Now he's a free agent at 32. He's not going to get an offer. He's not going to get a big offer.
No, but the franchise tag scenario to me is fraught with risk too, because we've seen guys go nope, don't want the tag, not going to sign the tag, not going to show up, and that would be something I'd be scared to death of. That the franchise tag sounds great in theory, but an actual application, that when that came to that moment, Patrick Peterson would go, hell no, I ain't signing a
okay,
I'm not signing a franchise tag, I'm just not playing under that, no way.
So just take another year, a year and a half from now, when he's gonna be 31 years old going into the free agent, you know, the free agent year, wherever, whatever team he would play for, if he signed with somebody else, he'd be 31. How many teams are going to give a guy big dollars for age 31, 32, 33, 34 as a cornerback?
I don't know.
I think the value each year that goes by, the value on Patrick Peterson goes down on what he can make.
The Chiefs dodged a big bullet today, but with Patrick Mahomes still scheduled to miss some games, how is that injury going to impact the race for the AFC title? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Son of a gun, we'll have me fun on the bayou.
Blitz the Bayou. Text Blitz to 620-620.
One last qualifier. Gary Springer.
Jerry Springer?
Gary.
Oh, Gary.
Gary.
God, I think you said Jerry Springer.
Gary Springer from Buckeye.
Buckeye.
Yo, Gary. Gary Springer. 10 minutes. 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. If your name is Gary Springer, you have 10 minutes to call us at 602-260-9870. Blitz the Bayou, presented by Pepsi. That's our final qualifying winner. Coming up later on during this show, we will announce the grand prize winner for the Blitz the Bayou. The name is going to get emailed to us as soon as we qualify our last person. Gary Springer, you have 10 minutes, 602-260-9870, to get yourself registered for that trip to New Orleans to watch some football, eat some gumbo, and have yourself a good, good time. Gary Springer,
totally,
get on it.
Totally available to come with you, too.
Yes,
you win.
We both are.
Just ask.
You can pick one of us. You just have to choose which one's your favorite.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can take both of us. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Let's send it back to the studio with the star of SportsCenter's Not So Top 10, Sarah Cazell.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Yeah, the star of ESPN's Not So Top 10 when she was hosting. She's the in-game host for the University of Arizona football program. Some guy tried to kick a field goal, win $1,000. Instead, his shoe flew off, and the shoe went further than the ball when he kicked it, right?
Sure did. Yep, those Yeezys went flying.
And you're going to lobby for if the shoe had gone through the goalpost for him to get the $1,000? I don't know if that would have worked.
1,000%. You know, here's the thing is, you don't say explicitly in the rules what has to go through the uprights.
Just that something has to go through the uprights.
Just make it through the uprights.
That's fair. That's fair. Look at you being all generous with those U of A fans down there, Sarah. What is today's Twitter poll question of the day? What do you have for us?
All right, guys. Aside from U of A football, who do you think is ASU's biggest rival, specifically in the sport of football? Utah, USC, UCLA, or other?
I still think it's USC.
Just because of the L.A. thing.
Just because of the L.A. thing. Yeah, I think that it's the big brother, little brother, and I hate to say it, but they've been the big brother. And we always like it when the little brother kicks the big brother right in the behind. So I'm going to say it's USC.
Okay. 65% of our voters agree with you guys. It's only gone up since 2:30. 65 say USC, 19% say Utah, 10% say UCLA, and then 6% say other. A lot of responses in our comments saying Colorado.
Colorado.
You know, when they get good and somebody else gets good that's not Arizona, you could develop a rivalry there.
Yes.
But it's hard to have a rivalry when you're mediocre or below average. And, you know, you need two teams to be good to develop a rivalry, because the games mean something. Every like this year, the ASU-Utah game means something. The winner's in the driver's seat. The loser's probably out. So that, like, there's meaning to that game. So that's what you need. You need the teams to be good.
But I will say this. I do appreciate folks in Utah and folks in Arizona trying to make this a rivalry. I mean, we'll talk about this coming up in a little bit, but it's interesting to think that in Utah – they seem to think that ASU is a little bit of a rival in the sense that ASU's kind of done well against Utah the last few years. Oh, the Yankees
Gambo,
must have just scored.
Yep, we were just about to tell you. I heard the clapping, and I knew he knew.
3-2 pitch to Aaron Hicks, and he hits a three-run homer.
Oh.
They're rocking
Yankees.
Justin Verlander. They're rocking Verlander.
Wow.
That's why yesterday was so important, because I told you they could beat Verlander in Yankee Stadium. They just, that's
it's
why
the
I like.
First inning.
It's 4-1. They just rocked Verlander.
Oh, that's right. The game's over because in the first inning, the Yankees are up 4-1.
Aaron
Come
Hicks
on,
just
man.
Did a three-run
Come
homer.
On.
Gambo, not even an hour ago, you were saying, you know, when the team is better than you, you just have to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, the Astros are just better. There's no way.
A half hour ago, he was moaning and groaning. And
listen, they are better, and they're not going to win the series, but at least they could force, you know, get it to Houston and give yourself a chance.
Okay. Change it to.
Man, if they would have won that game yesterday against Greinke, then they would win today. Now you win the series.
Ifs and buts were candy and nuts.
They had to win yesterday. Yeah. I know.
Christmas every day.
Whatever. 4-1 Yankees.
Andy Reid on Patrick Mahomes. Now, let's update you with the very latest on the news on this. Patrick Mahomes, it was according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, it actually turned out to be the best case scenario, which is kind of hard to believe given that he had to have his knee popped back into place on the field last night so he could walk off and head into the locker room. But he did dislocate his kneecap last night. But according to the MRI, according to Ian Rappaport, the damage around the knee was minimal enough that Patrick Mahomes, the reigning MVP of the NFL, only needs to miss about 3 weeks. Now, looking at Kansas City's schedule, their bye week is coming up in 5 weeks. So if they wanted to, they could give him 4 weeks off. Then he'd have the bye.
Give him the 4 weeks off.
Then he could come back after that. But if it's just the strict three games, best case scenario, that's all he's going to miss, he could be back in less than a month, which given the nature of that injury and the way the guys were responding to it on the field last night, that's a borderline miracle that he would only miss three games.
Yeah, listen, and I said this to you earlier, and I really believe this. I mean, he went into this game with an injury, and it wasn't the knee injury; it was the ankle injury. This rest might actually do him some good. Listen, you're not getting home field advantage. So the reason to play was to try to get home field advantage. You're not going to get it. You're two games behind the Patriots. You still got to play the Patriots. He's going to be out a while. Matt Moore's not going to win all these games. He's a 35-year-old journeyman. So now just make sure that he's 100%. Make sure he's as close to 100% as you can. Get him right. Because even if you don't have home field advantage, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be a dangerous out if Mahomes is healthy. And you're not going to win if he's not healthy. So to me, blessing in disguise that he's going to miss 3 or 4 weeks because he was already injured before the kneecap got misplaced last night.
All right, if Kansas City struggles without him, and I presume they're going to with Matt Moore as their quarterback, who ends up being the number two seed in the AFC if the Patriots are the number one?
Baltimore?
That would have been my first guess. Maybe the Texans? Maybe? The Bills? Do the Bills actually have enough juice
to get
there?
Why am I hearing so many positive things about the damn Bills?
Because their defense. Their defense is really good. Their defense is extraordinary, actually.
I heard somebody say, who's the best threat to beat the... It was Deion Sanders. Said, who's the best bet to beat the Patriots on that stupid show that they do? And I have to watch it, but I hate it.
If you ball, you get the call?
Yeah, I hate that show. I do. I hate it. But I want to see highlights. I'm going to have to start watching the show you watch.
NFL Primetime with Chris Berman, baby.
NFL Primetime online. On my iPad.
It can't be the Bills because they're going to get the wild card.
Deion said,
right.
This is what Deion Sanders said. Who's got the best chance of beating New England in the playoffs? He said the Bills because of their defense.
Wow.
He said the Bills.
Now, I mean, they could, to Jordan's point, they could get out of there out of the wild card. But, I mean, they wouldn't be. So if I was asking who the number two seed's going to be, okay, it can't be the Bills because they would win the wild card. But your point was that Deion was asked who's got the best chance to beat him, and he thinks them. Andy Reid, you think I didn't believe you that Aaron Hicks hit a three-run homer? You need to show me the replay?
I was just showing it to you.
Man, I'm busy hosting a show over here. I appreciate it, but I did know he hit a home run.
Wanted to see if you saw it.
Oh, God, just take me now. Andy Reid was asked if the quarterback sneak was the right play. He took the question a little personal.
Yeah, no, that was a called play, yeah. Yeah, that was called. Probably shouldn't have called it, right? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Do you have any regrets about calling the sneak? You know,
Candy? No, I mean, not too many people get hurt on a sneak, and so it's a freak thing. It happens.
Cliff Kingsbury, who, of course, was Patrick Mahomes' coach in college, was very defensive of the play call as well today before the Cardinals left for New York.
I think that's crazy. I think it's crazy. The best to ever do it by far sneaks it 4 times a game, you know, in the best franchise in pro sports basically allows him to do that. So I think it's getting overblown.
I mean, you can't protect your quarterback. You can't keep him in bubble wrap, can you?
No, that's crazy to even have that argument.
You know what strikes me about that soundbite?
What?
Cliff Kingsbury has not shown hardly any emotion at all as the coach of the Cardinals. He's been very flat. He's been very monotone.
You think
he's
that
been,
showed emotion?
I think that was just about the most emotion we've seen out of Cliff Kingsbury. His defense of Andy Reid's play call and the idea of the quarterback sneak. That seems to be about as amped up as Cliff Kingsbury has been all year long was his defense of Andy Reid.
Look, here's the reality. If you don't think you could call a quarterback sneak for your quarterback because he's hurt, don't play him.
Yeah.
Don't play him.
You're right.
It's a quarterback sneak. It's 1 yard. Okay? If you don't think you can run that play because he's injured, he shouldn't be on the field playing. That's stupid to be criticized for that play. It's a quarterback sneak. I mean, that's, you know, again, I mean, if he's healthy and he's playing, you have to have the ability to call that play.
Well, Gary didn't call, which means
what?
He didn't call.
He doesn't want to blitz the Bayou?
Nope. So caller number 10 gets to blitz the Bayou and gets to take our last qualifying spot. Caller number 10, 602-260-9870, 602-260-9870. 9870. If you are caller number 10, you will be registered to Blitz the Bayou. And stay tuned in the 5 o'clock hour. We will announce the grand prize winner's name. Caller number 10 right now gets a chance to enter. Yesterday, it was Draymond Green calling out the Suns on behalf of Marquise Chris. Today, there's another former Sun that's calling the Suns organization into question. We'll tell you who and what he said coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We're live from the Fry's Food Stores. Tatum and Shea will be here until 6 o'clock if you want to come by and say hi to us. We would appreciate it. Gambo's mood has improved dramatically in the last 15 minutes or so, probably because Aaron Hicks hit a three-run homer off.
Just give him a chance. You never know. I mean, you never know, right? I mean, maybe Cole throws a bad game in game six.
Be lecturing
maybe
yourself not. About the whole give him a chance thing. You were the one writing him off for dead about 30 minutes ago.
Don't talk to me about writing him off. I'm going to stick with this. The Astros are better, man. They're just a better team. They're better.
All right.
I mean, you could live with losing to a team that you look at and say they're better than you.
I like to see this version of Gambo. You got some spark. You got some juice. You were just so down on your luck and defeated and tail between your legs, Gambo, is I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, we lost with Zach Greinke on the mound yesterday. I mean,
TJ Warren says the Suns messed up. Quote, I'm ready to show the whole NBA and not just the Suns for making the wrong decision that the Pacers made the right decision. I'm worth more than cash consideration. It's on me to prove it. But the Suns messed up. Said that's a Shams Charania of The Athletic. And those comments are on the heels of Draymond Green and what he said about the Suns yesterday.
Marquise Chris made the team.
Failing Marquise Chris, who ended up making the team, right, when it was all said and done.
He's been on, this is his fourth, Marquise Chris is on his fourth team already. He was on the Suns, he was on Houston, he was on Cleveland. This is his fourth team. You know, listen, you don't root against those guys. Maybe they make it. Maybe he's able to make it and survive. TJ Warren was never, ever healthy with the Suns. He missed so many games every single year. He was never healthy. So the thing about TJ is, look, I liked him. You know I liked him. He's a good player. He's a good basketball player. But they had four wings, and they only wanted two. And they drafted one. That's your third one. They could not keep Josh Jackson and TJ Warren, and we said it at the time that they're going to look to move both of those guys. Mm-hmm. They're going to look to move both of them.
Yeah, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with TJ Warren using his situation to motivate him. In fact, I think that's a very human, natural response to that situation. Think about it if you're TJ Warren and try to put it into some real-world application in your own life. You just got fired and a competing radio station just hired you. What do you want to do? You want to kick the butt of the station that just fired you, right?
Sure.
And that's in essence what just happened to TJ Warren. I mean, the Suns, they didn't fire him per se, but they traded him for pennies on the dollar. They traded him by attaching the 32nd pick in the draft as bait at the end of the hook to get a team to trade for him.
It would have been better to get something for him.
Yeah, and that's insulting if you're TJ Warren. I can understand why TJ Warren's insulted by that.
Get healthy.
Well, play
a season. Play a full season once.
You don't think about it that way if you're TJ Warren. All you do is look at it and say, man, I thought I was a pretty good player. They had to trade the 32nd pick just to get rid of me. That's how badly they wanted me gone.
You are a pretty good player, but you had a $35 million left on your contract.
But you use that as motivation if you're TJ Warren.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with using that. If you're not going to sit there and if you're TJ Warren, you're not sitting in your condo in Indianapolis going, you know what, the Suns are right. I'm a broken player. I'm not very good at what I do, and my numbers are I'm overpaid. The Suns were right to do. Of course not. He's going to look at it and say, screw you, Phoenix. Watch what I'm going to go do, as he should. As he should.
What was the knock on A.J. Pollock?
He was always hurt.
Always hurt. Dodgers signed him, and guess what?
He got hurt.
He's always hurt.
Yep. Oh, I'm not going to be surprised at all when T.J. gets hurt this year.
$5 million left on T.J. Warren's contract. Nobody wanted to give up anything for a guy that misses half the season every year.
Totally agree.
Agree. Hey, I want to pay him $35 million. The guy can't stay healthy for half a season.
I'm not arguing that with you.
I like him as a player.
I'm just saying that I can see why he would use this as inspiration. I could totally see that. And I don't like, and I, the Suns,
I get it. It was a one-time thing this summer. They had to do it. They had to sell Josh Jackson for pennies on the dollar. They had to sell T.J. Warren for pennies on the dollar because they were resetting the culture. They were resetting the room. You cannot get in the habit of undervaluing your players like that when you make these trades. And for James Jones' sake, that better be a one-time deal, man. A one-summer-only clearance sale for the Phoenix Suns where you sell guys like that. Because if you get in the habit of routinely not making trades based off of value for value, you're going to be unemployed in a matter of no time if you're a general manager in this league.
Listen, new GMs do this all the time. You clear house of the old GM's guys, and that's a lot of what they did. They got rid of a lot of the dead wood. They got rid of the guys that were problems. Look, DeAnthony Melton's gone. Eli Okobo's probably not even going to start the season with the team because they've got two other backup point guards that are better than him. I mean, he's cleaning house on the guys, making sure that the right guys are here for Monty Williams. You get rid of guys that were bad character guys. You get rid of guys that just don't fit. They had four wing players. They needed a backup center. They needed a true power forward. They needed a point guard. It was just a matter of just kind of mixing and matching. I've got to get rid of TJ and Josh so I could fit in other players at positions of need.
Yeah, Monty Williams from about a week ago or so. Who's going to be your backup point guard behind Ricky Rubio? Here's what he said.
They both brought something to the game that was different. You know, Javon is gritty, a bulldog, getting steals the right way. You know, we don't want to ambush in the backcourt and try to get steals. He was blowing up DHOs and playing passing lanes and hawking the ball. And Ty was solid. He was in his shifts and in the right spot offensively. When he first came into the game, he knocked down a few shots. He was making the right reads. So I think they both bring a different element. And it may be a case where, you know, it's too early to say, but we might play those guys together going forward.
It's Monty Williams talking about Javon Carter and Ty Jerome. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but we were at the press box at Cardinals State Farm Stadium this weekend. I was sitting next to Vinny Murata, and he said before the Cardinals game started, he said, I'm going to make a prediction that by the end of the season, Ty Jerome is going to be the second most popular player on the Phoenix Suns roster among the fans. He goes, I just think, and I hope Vinny doesn't mind that I say that, because I think Suns fans are going to love this kid. Love this kid for the way he plays and the intensity that he plays the game with.
He's probably going to be the backup point guard on this team. And then Carter is a third guy that brings a lot of defensive intensity. He's a good defensive player. He's going to, you know, can knock down a couple of shots, but Jerome is a smart player. Everybody I've spoken with in that organization, they love him. They want to develop him the right way. Being behind Ricky Rubio, he's going to learn so much. Listen, I'll tell you right now, Ty Jerome would have been the best point guard on his team last year when he was in college in Virginia, and it wasn't even close. He would have been the best. You could have taken him right out of Virginia, put him on the Suns, and he would have been head and shoulders the best point guard on his team. Yeah, better than Melton, better than Okobo. He's good. He's good. And behind Ricky or Rubio for a couple of years, you know, there's a possibility that he could end up being the starter on this team down the road. They think very highly of him.
Come watch 17th-ranked ASU football take on 13th-ranked Utah this Saturday at the Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, 40th Street and Indian School. We'll be giving away Sun Devil gear and tickets. Other great prizes as well, courtesy of Coors Light. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com. Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, 40th Street and Indian School tomorrow, 17th-ranked ASU versus 13th-ranked Utah. The quarterback position in the NFL has always been filled with older, experienced, veteran guys. Why is the youth movement now taking over the position, and why is it being led in part by Kyler Murray? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.